Pickaxe.
If you like to eat stress-free and healthy, like me, you can do it this spring with Factor. They have delicious, ready-to-eat meals, everyone is fresh, never frozen, and chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 different options, including popular ones such as Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or like me, vegan and veggie. There are more than 60 add-ons you can discover every week, such as breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks and beverages to help you stay fueled and feeling good all day long. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. If you're looking for gourmet options, there are meals that have premium ingredients, such as filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini and asparagus. And they are no fuss, no mess. Factor eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking and cleaning up. Simply heat and enjoy the good stuff. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, and you can pause or reschedule deliveries at any time. Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. This month, we're celebrating Earth Day. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So head on over to factormeals.com/pickaxe50 and you can use code PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your second box. That's PICKAXE50 at factormeals.com/PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is going. Check it out.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Good afternoon. Good evening. It's the Trifles podcast. I'm joined by Mr. Pyrian Flax.
Hello,
sir.
Hello.
Author, old man, dad.
I knew that was coming. Had to just rush
hero,
to
the
philanthropist.
Yes. Local.
Pillar of local his local community
snooper,
in Twickenham.
Watches people out the window and judges
peeper?
Them.
Yeah.
Snooper, not peeper.
Oh, snooper. Okay, well, that's much better.
Snooper. It's like
and
a step
course,
down from sniper, but it's...
Sips is garage dweller,
yeah.
Family man,
yeah.
Turtle owner,
yeah.
Car driver,
oh,
and
yeah.
Island liver.
Hey, also garbage removal man, too. I had this... yesterday was the... Just to give you an idea, I know Lewis hates when we spill the beans on when we record, but yesterday was the 18th of November, which is quite a few days away from Halloween, right? Halloween is a distant memory. Well,
yeah.
My carved pumpkins were still sitting on my doorstep yesterday.
Ooh.
As you can imagine, and
they were all black and horrible.
Yeah,
there's
been like hurricanes here since, rain, you name it.
Do you think they were summoned by the evil pumpkin spirits?
I don't know, but it was time to throw them out, and let me tell you,
that is the true horror of Halloween.
Yeah,
yeah.
When it's time to throw pumpkins out that have been out for like 3 weeks, they turn to soup immediately when you touch
yeah,
them.
Yeah, they do.
It's
they
gross.
Do soup.
Really, really gross. There was.
You
just
were saying that Snooper is one level down from Sniper.
Yeah.
I'd quite like to play, you know, the Sniper Elite games. Snooper Elite,
mm-hmm.
I think, would be interesting.
Yeah.
You have to sneak in there and, like, observe stuff.
Yeah.
Because I watched a thing about the police. I think I spoke about it, where they the drugs thing. We spoke about it last week. One of the guys on the show, it looks like a really boring job. All he did was observe the main target. Day in, day out, followed him to the golf course, reported what kind of golf clubs he had, what he was wearing, who he was with, and just went to the garden center, followed him to the garden center. I'm thinking there isn't really a game where you just watch and try and divine something about people.
No.
Is there?
How do you... I mean, I love the idea that you are snooping on your neighbor and like, oh yeah, their mother-in-law came over and they had an argument and, you know, the kids went out on the trampoline. I love that. But I also like the idea of a spy being so bored
that
he like sneaks up to someone at a golf club and finds out what golf clubs they are.
Just to yes. keep his hand in.
Yeah. It's just
you're
like
using ping golf clubs. Okay. They are good clubs.
Just sneaks off again.
Let me just make a little note in my book.
Mike's but you got to think because...
What kind of ball is that? A titleist.
Excellent. A titleist. It's like it's like Dracula playing fucking golf.
Like the clubs. Nice putt.
Dracula would be a great spy. He'd be able to, like, you know, bat his way out of situations.
Bat his way out. Oh, that's, he could.
Sneaking through the windows.
That's very
and stuff.
Good. Well done.
These would be useful. I'm surprised there's no Dracula detective TV show on CB right now.
You've got to question his motives.
Yeah.
His motive would be, is there blood in it? You know, well, we need you to solve the case, Dracula. That's your job. My job is to get the blood.
Here is that looking is at you, kid.
Here is biting you. Yeah, it would have been a different show if Telly Savalas just sunk his teeth into the victim's neck. Will you help me, Telly? Yes, one second.
Yes,
delicious.
You are my thrall now. You have no problems.
Yeah, the chief is like, I will do what you say, Telly Savalas.
I read, interestingly, this week that someone translated Dracula into Icelandic in 1901.
Right.
And they used Bram Stoker's original manuscript, apparently. And so as a result, no one even noticed this for 100 years, but there was a lot more sex in it, and it was a lot shorter. And I think what had happened was Bram Stoker, I think, or at least his editors, or someone had edited it down for popular English sort of consumers, and they'd taken out a lot of the sexy bits because they were worried that there would be an uproar, you know, and people wouldn't focus on the Dracula bit. They'd focus on all the sex, and it would be some sort of sex book, you know?
Which is ironic, because that's all that the vampire fiction now is just...
Yeah, it's come full circle, I guess, hasn't it?
People's reluctance to read about sex and to write it, I guess. And, you know, gender norms and everything else has changed, so I think people are just kind of like, they're cool with it now. You know, people aren't as
fussed. The good thing about reading about sex in a book is that you can do it on the sofa with your parents and not feel, like, totally awkward. Well, you can. You can, like, just look around and see, like, do they realise I'm reading a sexy bit? And then you're like, oh, no, they can't. They're not in my head. It's okay. You know?
Right.
Do you ever get that? You know? Whereas if you're watching, like, a movie with sex in it, it's always like, oh, shit. Even though I'm 37 and my parents are, like, in their 70s, you know, I'll still watch a movie at Christmas with them and there'll be some sort of sex scene going on.
Yeah.
And I'll awkwardly side-eye over to my parents or whatever, and they'll just, like, roll their eyes at me as if, like...
I've been rewatching The Sopranos recently.
I'm on the
last episode. Well, I need to watch the last episode tonight. But there is a lot of awkward, rough humping in that series as well, where, like, you're just watching and all of a sudden, like, the scene will change to just some humping. And you sort of look over at, like, your wife or whoever you're watching it with, and you're just like, ah, oh, geez, really again? Like, there's just so much.
It is a little uncomfortable.
So much uncomfortable humping scenes in that series, yeah. It's just like, I don't know. Game of Thrones was a little bit like that at times as well, especially early on. Like, the first, like, season or two, there was lots of, like... Lots of rough humping, you know?
I think me and Mrs. FT, if we're watching the show and there's that in it, we just sort of look at each other and go, my goodness, like that's about it. Because it's just, what else did he do? It's just kind of funny, really.
It is. It almost feels planned as well. Like, it feels like we need one set of tits per episode, someone getting the head chopped off per episode, you know?
I'm pretty sure early Game of Thrones was just that. They actually stipulated that they had to have these sort of raunchy sex scenes because it'll gain more interest in the show, sort of thing.
I definitely think The Sopranos had random sex stuff thrown in. Like I said when we were talking about it the other month, I felt that a lot of the time they were like, right, someone's going to die this episode and there's got to be some sex this episode and Tony's got to see his therapist. Work those three things in.
Yeah.
Because there were times when Tony was fucking someone, you thought, what's this for? Like, what is this for? Like, there's one where he goes to an office and the receptionist is there and he just bangs her over the desk. And I'm like, I get it. It's in the character of Tony's meant to be that, but he's not exactly irresistible. You know,
no,
what I mean?
But it's meant to show that he's beyond help, right? Like, the entire series is meant to show that it's impossible for him to change. Everything is stacked against him to ever become a better person, right?
But I guess you could say the same thing about Game of Thrones, is that, you know, it all had a purpose.
Like, yeah, of course. I mean,
it still manages to feel gratuitous, even if it has a purpose.
Yeah, sometimes it does. Yeah.
Definitely you're right. I'm watching a TV show and I'm at odds with the slightly older, uglier guy getting a hot woman. And I'm like, oh, but this, I realize that they're in a position of power, so maybe it's okay. Well, it's not okay. But I'm generally like,
it's
believable
the show,
that someone who's the president might have a hot model wife. I don't know, maybe that's believable.
Well, it is now. Whereas,
I feel like George Costanza in Seinfeld getting like hot women every episode felt ludicrous.
It's a weird thing, though. It's a weird standard, isn't it? Because you do occasionally see, or maybe more than occasionally, I don't know, but it is a thing for older men to get younger women. I believe, like, you do see it from time to time, whereas it's very rare that you would see a really young man with an older woman, right?
It's
like,
true, yeah.
A far it's older true. Woman.
It's a stigma, though,
it's
isn't
such
it?
A weird, though, such a
it
weird
It feels
standard.
Like the power dynamic is in the hands of the older person. Yeah. So when you have that, you tend to think that it's a hungry cougar, you know, after a supple young man. But the other way around, if it's like a young man taking advantage of an older lady, that feels like also kind of seedy, doesn't it?
Yeah. I don't think it's ever felt that the young man is taking advantage of the older woman. I think the assumption is that older people have more experience and make these decisions, and they're inevitably taking advantage of the younger person, even if that's not the case. Because I have known a few couples where the man is substantially older than the woman. I have known a very few couples where the woman is older than the man, but not by much, not by as much. But in Hollywood, I was watching Outbreak. The movie Outbreak was on TV the other week. We spoke about this recently because of COVID, and we noticed it again. Rene Russo is in that movie. Rene Russo was the go-to woman who looks old enough to be with a slightly older guy, and she doesn't look like ultra young. She never really looked like youthful.
No,
but
she
always got the impression she was middle-aged. Dustin Hoffman was old as fuck when that movie was made. The age difference between this couple is nearly 20 years. Every time you watch a Hollywood movie, go and look at the age of the woman who's meant to be the main love interest of the fella. And it's diabolical.
61, I think, or something like that.
It's crazy. It's like every time. Hollywood's like, well, our leading man is in his 70s, so let's get a hot 40-year-old to be his wife. It's like, come on.
if you see like a young woman, okay, say you see a 25-year-old woman, very like
so
glamorous
basically
or whatever.
An average Hollywood woman. So she would pass as being a high school student, but she would also pass as being
in
a 60-year-old's wife.
Remember back in like the 90s, and I mean, it still happens now, but I remember there was a couple of like really high profile younger women getting with like these crusty old 90-year-old oil billionaires.
Oh, what
stuff,
was her name?
Right?
Anna Nicole Smith. Right?
Yeah, she died like
she did.
While back, didn't she?
Yeah,
it was like the whole thing was really weird. But when you see that, you just think, oh, she's just after his money, right? Like that's your first thought.
Right.
Your immediate thought was like, oh, she's just after his money. But your first thought, if it's like a 25-year-old guy dating a 90-year-old woman, is, oh, he's mentally ill. Like, there's no,
but
like...
I think mentally ill.
I do. I'd be like, oh, he's got some issues or something. Like,
he's after her money. Come on.
No, I wouldn't even, though. That's the thing. I feel like I'm, like, conditioned, like, in certain ways somehow, where I wouldn't... My immediate thought about that situation with the guy and the older woman wouldn't be,
oh, you think
oh,
it must be like
money.
A sex thing. Like, he's one of those granny chasers or whatever he's into.
Yeah. Like, it's just, I don't know, like, I don't know if that's just me being having some weird bias. It's not something I think about ever.
I think it probably is a bias, and I think the bias is probably that we assume that women aren't into anything for the sex. They must have some ulterior motive, like some kind of sinister force.
But men,
of course, we're far too.
Men,
noble
I will,
for that
I will
stuff.
Immediately like seek out the deviancy because
right,
maybe,
because we don't trust men.
I guess so. I don't know. It's really fucking weird, isn't it?
I think there is some weird norm there that where we automatically assume that if a guy's fucking a granny, you know, that dude would probably fuck a pavement as well, you know, or a bicycle.
Yeah, or a bike. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Or some weird shit. Yeah. But sack like, of but flour. if it's a woman doing it to a guy, it's like there's probably somewhere down the line some fucking involved, but the goal isn't any of that, right? Whereas with the guy, I would say the goal is to like be some deviant, weird sex ape or something, you know, like, yeah, it's like, I don't know. It's just such a weird standard. Maybe I'm alone in thinking that. No, I don't know what that says about me, but
bizarrely infatuated with this like idea. I think that you can't, I don't think that, you know, Trump and old, what's the name, to have a good relationship. You know, I think that when you end up with these very one-sided systems, I don't think they're sustainable.
I want to give people the benefit of the doubt, good. But I would be really surprised if they had a healthy relationship.
I mean, there's all those video compilations of her refusing to hold his hand or like smiling. And then as soon as he turns his back, frowning, you know, I don't think they have a particularly good relationship.
Well, there's a vast age difference, but not only that, really big cultural differences as well, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
You know, I think even without age being a factor or anything, I think sometimes cultural differences are enough to cause huge problems in relationships, right? Like your expectations of like sociability and like a whole bunch of other stuff can definitely seep into things, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So
I have a PFLAX's ticker update.
A heart update.
I went to see a cardiologist. God.
Okay,
and he was a top lad. He really was a top lad. Big fan. We got chatting.
Big fan.
We got chatting.
Small, tiny penis.
No. But he did. We did talk about video games because you know.
Oh, you were a big fan of him.
Yeah, I was
right,
a big fan.
Rather the other way around.
No,
sorry,
no, I would never say something like that. That would be incredibly egotistical. No, I'm a big fan of him. He's awesome.
What's his podcast?
He doesn't have one, sadly, but I would listen to it.
Just get two of his friends together. Job done, right?
He's just one of those guys, you know, you meet a doctor sometimes, they're just chill. You know, you just think, wow, this guy's really a really cool dude and has interesting stories and talks to you in a nice way. Because some doctors have kind of a shitty bedside manner because they're just doctors, you know, they're good at fixing people up, but they'd have no social skills.
How
but what really tipped
him, old was he? For a start,
he was almost exactly my age, I would say.
See, that's what you want, okay?
Right.
Because I've been, last time at the dentist and the doctor, they looked like they were fresh out of university. And I was like, I could smell the Malibu and, do you know what I mean? Like, I felt like I was being looked after by a child who, but they did a great job.
Right,
and if anything, I was very pleased. I was like, damn, this guy's clearly knows his shit because he's fresh out of like training kind of thing.
Right.
So I was actually cool with it. But there was this like little bias in my head now that I am older than,
young whippersnappers, what do you know?
But I want someone my age.
Well, this guy almost exactly my age because we were both, they inevitably ask, what do you do? And I have to say, well, I play video games. And they're like, oh, you test video games. I was like, no, I just sort of play them and then stream it. And then you have to explain that because people haven't really, a lot of people of our age haven't really heard of this as a job. Well, it's all kind of new and interesting. So he wanted to know more. And then he said, oh, I used to play a lot of video games. I was like, oh, really? He goes, yeah. Have you ever heard of Football Manager? I was like, oh, yeah. And
then
we started talking about Football Manager. And we were talking about tactics, formations. We were talking about players. And he used to play it the late 90s and the very early 2000s, which is when I used to play a load of Football Manager and Championship Manager as it was back then. And we were talking, he was saying, you know, there was a broken formation in the early ones where you could play five attackers and you'd always win. I was like, I know. And my friend even figured out that you could not play a goalie and the left back would just fill in the goalie slot if you needed. So he'd always play with 11 outfield players. We were laughing about that for like 5 minutes. And he was like, oh, yeah, anyway, let's get on with back to your heart. But I was just like, this guy's awesome. He's going to do this operation. We could talk about video games the whole time. Perfect.
Oh, my gosh. He's got to do an operation.
Man,
well, sorry,
true?
A procedure. Procedure.
Oh, is that what they call
it
now?
So it's called an ablation. I spoke to him about SVT.
Oh, sounds horrible.
No. I spoke to him about SVT, and he was like, I do this all the time. It's way more common than you think. I was like, great. And he said, and whilst, you know, the nurse, when I went in last time, said, oh, it's really dangerous. He was like, it's really not that dangerous. You'll be okay. And I was like, great. So what they do is they make an incision, two incisions, at the very top of your thigh where there's that big vein. I think it's your femoral artery coming up from your leg or something. And they put these lines up there, these very thin cords, a bunch of them, that have a load of electrodes in. And they go all the way up the veins to your heart. then they sort of surround your heart with these electrodes, and then they look at this monitor, and it's got all these wiggly lines on that show the electrical signals going across your heart, and then they induce an attack of SVT, and they look, and they say, oh, that's the problem bit there, and then they burn a tiny bit of the nerve there on your heart with this little heater, and they shut it off as soon as it's done, and that's you cured. And like 99% of the time, you're good. You won't have an attack again.
Wow.
You should have asked him about PAB while you were there too. Or did you get a chance to ask him about it?
What's PAB? I forgot.
Pussy ass bitch.
I didn't.
Got him.
I didn't.
Got him again.
I didn't. I should have.
Oh my God. Did he ask you for a quick nine holes around the golf course afterwards?
No, we didn't get to golf.
I think you could have made a new chum.
It's weird when you have to describe what you do to people, right? Because I find it goes one of two ways. One of the ways is the way that Flax you just described. You explain to them and then they don't really know much about it, but they start talking about video games, and then you find that, you know, they've played a game that you've played and you can talk to them about that or whatever.
Yeah. Or, you know that bit in Surgeon Simulator where you get the hammer and smash the skull open? Yeah. We'll be doing that. And hopefully I'll be able to find all the bits and put them back together.
But the other way it goes is when you say, oh yeah, you know, like I stream, or like I make videos on YouTube. They're like, oh yeah, my son is like mad into that. He watches this guy called XXX69 Sephiroth XXX69. You ever heard of him? Do you know him or whatever? You're like, no, I don't know. Because it's always some like, it's never like a really big name. It's always like some obscure ass like...
That they're obsessed with, right?
Yeah, that they're like totally obsessed with, that you're expected to know somehow, like out of the millions of other people that do this on a daily basis.
I know my youngest was really disappointed that I didn't know Aziland,
right?
The YouTuber Aziland.
I remember this.
Yeah, she does like react videos, I think, and she does some other things, and it's all very high tempo for young people vids. And she used to love
Aziland.
She
has massive tits.
No, she doesn't. No, she doesn't. She's very... Like, I watched these to make sure it wasn't like, you know, that it wasn't like my daughter and a bunch of simps watching this YouTube channel. It's literally just stuff for kids. Like, oh my God, we're going to open loads of chocolate today. Yeah. You know, that kind of shit.
I'm pretty lucky. My son's only ever really watched Stampy and Squid. And I know them both. So it's
Dan,
like,
TDM as well. Those are the ones that watch those as well.
And honestly, he doesn't watch it like any of it at all anymore. He's just gravitated away from it now. He just like he plays games like when he can, sort of thing, but we're super sort of like, we limit him on how much sort of time he gets to play games, and then otherwise he's just like doing other stuff. But he went through a phase where he really liked watching YouTube videos, and now he never watches them at all anymore.
Same, really weird. They both used to watch loads, and now they just don't. I don't know why.
Yeah it's really, really odd, isn't
it? Which makes me think that most of these YouTubers, like 98% of their audience, must be 6 and 7 year old kids who
like refreshed as well,
right?
Constantly.
And then
it's like a revolving door, right?
Oh, it's crazy.
The minute your fan base gets to a certain age, you just get this influx of new fresh meat in to replace them, sort of
it's
thing.
It's weird.
But they will go through your entire back catalog, because they'll just go next, and they'll watch them all. Like, they never seem to get bored.
I don't want to think about this. God.
Lewis has been racking his brains on this one for like 10 years. He's
how do we get
stunned
to the 6-year-old demographic, folks? I want ideas, goddammit. And it's like, maybe we could have a miniatures painting. Miniatures are out! 6-year-olds aren't into miniatures. Kinder eggs. I want you all to open Kinder eggs on stream endlessly.
Yes, it's interesting hearing what's trending, because Fortnite, you hear less about it now, because I feel like Fortnite's kind of had its time and maybe is on its way out a little bit. I don't want to say too soon because I don't know. I'm basing this off of information that my son brings back from year
four
school.
It's all Among Us now, dude.
Yeah,
it's
no, he knows about it. He comes back and he's like, have you ever played Among Us? I was like, yeah, I've played it. And he's like, could I play that? It's like, well, you know, you need like a big group of people, and you need to be able to like, give each other information and stuff. It's not that straightforward and stuff. He's like, oh yeah, but you can kill people in a spaceship, right? Oh, okay. Yeah, you can. Like, it's weird. It's weird the things that appeal to them about these games. Like,
I got it for my eldest, actually. I got it on her Steam account that I have like total control over.
Yeah.
And it's got this thing, this parental lock where you can allow certain games through, you can block certain games, she can't go to the store at all kinds of stuff like that.
Oh, that's good that you can lock it down like
that. It's good, yeah. So I got Among Us for her because a friend of hers was having a birthday party and it was an Among Us party.
Right.
So all the kids just played Among Us for like 4 hours or whatever. Watching their meta is fascinating. I'm no Among Us expert, but they really are very poor at figuring out who the imposter is, which is odd because they're also terrible at being the imposter because they're complete noobs, you know, and they're just like,
well, having said that though, Flax, kids. I've played with people who are meant to be really good at the game and they can't figure out who the imposter is half the time either.
Yeah,
so.
It's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm terrible.
I like the idea that there's 10 of them just doing the tasks and there's no imposters. I like the idea that that's the game. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
that sounds like enough of a game for like kids to play, right?
But they only use the chat. They don't use voice, so they just say orange is sus.
Yeah, I
so
think
and
we
so
talked
sus,
about
like
this
that.
Last
yeah,
week.
Yeah, but it's funny because like now that she's actually playing it, we're having discussions about strategies and stuff like that. And she's
like a prolific liar, right? Like a very good.
No, that's
experience.
That's my youngest.
Oh,
my eldest
right.
is a terrible liar. Yeah, my youngest is the liar.
Oh, that's right. Your youngest is the master criminal in evil mastermind
yes.
in waiting.
My eldest is just evil, but she's to your face evil. She's just horribly mean to her younger sister, and if you tell her. Did you tell, like, my youngest is doing some Lego last night and she was making a hospital and my eldest, and she made a chair. And my eldest said, that chair looks like a toilet. And my youngest was like, no, it's a chair. She's like, yeah, that's a toilet. And that was enough for my youngest to be in floods of tears, stomp downstairs, like crying. Oh, she says my chair looks like a toilet. It's not a toilet, it's a chair. And I went up there and my eldest was just laughing her head off. Mission accomplished. You know, she like, that's it. I made my sister cry just by telling her Lego chair looked like a toilet. And I was like, why are you letting this shit get to you? Just ignore her. But she can't. They want their older siblings' validation so much that they can't even vocalize it.
Yeah.
It was funny.
It's interesting. Like, I think if you go in looking for, like Twitter, there's so, sometimes you read comments or things on Twitter and if you're looking at them with the perspective that someone's going to criticize you or accuse you or something or be nasty to you, then that's what you'll see. Whereas if you don't think that, sometimes you'll read things very differently in a very different tone, like, oh, that's not a very good joke or whatever. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, so often, like, obviously, YouTube comments and Twitter comments, I never recommend anyone read any of them.
No. Agreed.
Quite honest. Because the 99 good ones won't outweigh the horror of the one.
Yeah,
bad
you remember
one whatever,
the
you know
bad
mean?
One. Yeah, yeah. For
there's
sure.
99 good things doesn't for some reason in your head doesn't help. You know, they all just wash over you. But the one bad one sticks and it's thorn
my experience
in your
with,
side sometimes.
With comments and stuff in general isn't too bad. I don't think I've ever had a comment where it's been like I felt really personally offended by like what somebody said. You know what I mean? Like there'll be a lot of like, oh, he sucks at this game or whatever. But some of that you can almost say like it's like banter or it's like, you know, part of like a, you know, like a group sort of like thought or whatever. And I wouldn't actually find that offensive. But I've never come across a comment where it's been like anything like really specific, like fuck, he's so ugly and stupid, you know what I mean, like really like personal stuff. But I've seen
yeah,
other people
I
have
all those after
really
Sorry,
really
dude.
Mean personal stuff said about them, and like if that was me reading that, I would feel like, oh shit, you know, like that.
I get a lot of that. I always have, and after a while you just sort of I think Sir Action Slacks is my role model when it comes to internet comments because he uses it. Like, he loves that. That's what he wants is the salt. And he wants to make people react like that. And he relishes it and he makes memes and videos out of it. And their comments fuel him.
Yeah.
Which is amazing to me.
Me too. For a long time, like, I don't I don't really let the bad comments get to me because I don't necessarily believe that either they're really meant that way, but also we joke with ourselves in the same manner. You know, we tease ourselves a lot. Like, for example, like with your kids, like, I think that if someone told me that my chair looked like a toilet, you know, if I would be like, that's great. I'll turn this whole thing into a bathroom. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of right. The attitude is very much like on board, right? Whereas I think that if you're looking for an insult, you're going to see one. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it's the outlook.
Yeah, there's not like a lot of context sometimes on the internet for comments and stuff either. You know, like of course they're related to like what you're watching or whatever, but like, there's no facial expressions. You can't really detect sarcasm. You can't really detect these sort of subtle social things, right? So it's very easy for people to take them personally or completely out of context, you know, and get upset about it.
I also think some people lack the ability to actually put their thoughts into a sentence that is in any way.
Are you saying that based on what I just said?
No.
Absolutely
not.
Stumbling through some thoughts.
That sounded like it was, but I wasn't.
You've just defied the Trifles podcast.
No, it's more like, I think some people are trying to make a joke and it's just fucking horrible and it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I think as well, there is, I just think a lot of people really lack the ability to make a joke and have it seem like they're like, well, I was only kidding. It's like, well, that doesn't look like a joke. Like, a guy turned up in my chat the other day and just said, hey, Pyrrhon, you bold cunt. And I just banned him because I'm like, I don't know you, dude.
That was me.
If it was you, I would have banned you as well. It's like, I know. If you meant that as a jovial, hey, I don't know you. If you said that to me real life,
certain things,
hey,
you're willing to take certain things from certain people, right?
Of course.
Because there's context
But then I know that it's as part of a joke. But if you just turn up in someone's channel, never seen you before, not a sub, don't recognize the username, and that's your hello, work on your social skills a little bit. Because I have no idea if you're just abusing me or not.
This is a symptom of all of this stuff, though. The living vicariously through somebody, watching them play games, feeling like you're hanging out with them, you know, like that. It's like there's been a lot of people talking about this stuff, well, forever, but even more recently with like the parasocial relationships with, you know, back in the day it would have been with like big Hollywood actors and stuff, but now more modernly or recently with, you know, big streamers or YouTubers or whatever. These are people that you have more access to, right? You can say something to them and you can see them react to what you're saying sometimes, right, in real time, which is not something people have ever been able to do before, sort of thing. So like in the case where that guy came in, you know, being overly familiar with you, for him, somebody who watches you every day and...
No, he doesn't. That's what I'm saying. I don't think he'd ever watch me before.
But let's just say he did. You can see from his point of view how that would come to be a thing, right? He feels like he's got some connection with you or some rapport with you that you're unaware of because you're just streaming into the void, right?
A lot of
these people you'll never interact with. But for him, he feels like every day he interacts with you. So like, it's kind of like... at work, you know, you walk into the lunchroom and you see a guy that you worked with forever and you're like, what's up, bitch, or whatever. And that's right. That's fine because both of you like know each other. But
right.
in this case, both of you don't know each other at all. So
I
there's
agree.
No
yeah,
rapport.
No, it's just there is no rapport. Yeah, you're right.
I think it's about drawing a line, though, right? Like, obviously that you don't want to establish a precedent that anyone can kind of come into your chat and casually just, you know, throw around stuff like that. You know, I think that there is a line that has to be drawn somewhere. You know, I was talking to a female streamer the other day. I don't want to necessarily name who it was, but she said to me, you know, someone said in my chat, like, you know, a really polite question. It was like, oh, I'm sorry to ask you about this, but I think it would be interesting to know, you know, what is your sexuality, right? And it was like one of these kind of borderline questions. And obviously he got banned immediately, but like, it's one of those borderline questions where you could see it being asked as innocent and you could see it being like almost one of these odd pickup liney type things that's used to like get people to start talking and down a conversation about that kind of thing.
Right.
The journey of a female, I guess, content creator, if you like, versus a male's is like so vastly different. It's unbelievable. Like the shit that women have to deal with compared to what men have to deal with, like on these platforms, is like night and day. Like it's insane. I've never felt like people have asked me inappropriate questions about anything. Like I've never felt scared that like I'm being stalked somehow, or that people are being creepy with me or anything like that. I've never felt any of those things.
And also we've never felt that. Yeah, like, and at an every event day. having dudes follow you around. Yeah. I know lots of women that work in esports or in gaming in general. And there will be dudes at an event, say, who just follow them around.
Yeah.
Just watching them, giving them the old snooper elite. And it's fucking creepy. And it's
astonishing that shit happens. Like, I've seen that happen as well.
Is it?
Well, it's astonishing that people are so unaware. Like, that's
my next point is, I think a lot of the time we have this crossover where you have gaming now being accepted and embraced by people who wouldn't have done it when I was a kid. When I was a kid, games were for little children or weirdo adults, right? That's it.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't play games. If you'd said, what do you do all day? I play video games. It wasn't a thing.
They weren't vast social experiences either back
exactly.
then.
Exactly. They were confined to things.
For 2-3 people in a living room or whatever, you know.
Like, so it was something you did when you had your mates around when you were a kid, or you'd go to the arcade and hang out with all the creepy adults there and all the kids. That was it. And there were very few women involved in gaming in any way. And now that there are, these are women who don't look like the archetypal video game nerd. And there are lots of blokes who don't look like the archetypal video game nerd, because that's not what it is anymore. It's much more accessible. Anybody can fucking play it, which is great, because games should not be something just for a tiny group of people. It should be for as many people as possible, because they're fantastic. We all love games. So I think the thing is, you've got people coming into that space, or people who are now part of it, who are also bumping into the people who are exact throwbacks to that basement-dwelling nerd, like I am, who lives in his loft and plays Dota all day. And suddenly they're out there in the world having to socialize with people, not online, but offline, in real life, in 3D, and they have no skills to do that, and it's impossible.
I think that there's a couple of things here, though. One is that, obviously, we get so few problematic messages that we don't really even recognize them, whereas girls get problematic messages all the time.
Yeah.
And so, as a result, things that we wouldn't find problematic, they do, okay? So, for example, I don't know, someone might say, you know, oh, you know, you're looking good today, PFLAX, or something like that in your chat, and you'd be like, thanks, you know, whereas that is like almost borderline creepy to a female streamer, right? Unless they know who that is, right? Unless they know them in chat already. And so that's like, there's this whole gamut of comments and tweets and messages that are suddenly inappropriate because of that dynamic, right? And then also, like, in real life, when you see someone like at TwitchCon or at an event, you know that streamer, and you almost feel like that these events almost advertise. You come to these events, you'll get to meet these people, right? And so you go to an event and you might see someone that you recognize, and they might be in a conversation. You might think, do I want to just go up to them straight away and say, oh, hi, big fan, blah, blah, blah. That's my attitude. My attitude is, like when I saw Kibler at a Twitch event, I went up and I was just like, oh, Kibler. I went up, I said, hello, big fan, shook his hand, whatever. And he, you know, whatever. It was fine. It was like, I was a little bit of a fanboy, okay? Because I like the guy, but I was like, I almost wanted to emulate the people that I had met, the fans that I had met, where they saw me, they introduced themselves straight away, and then they left me alone. They didn't sort of hang around at the periphery of my vision waiting for a moment. And some of it is excess politeness, and they're shy, obviously. And they're like, oh, he's obviously in a conversation right now. I don't want to interrupt him. I don't want to, you know what I mean? And then they end up just hovering and lurking around like snoopers.
Snoopers.
Or after you've met them, they then like just stay on the fringe of your conversation, almost like they've. I understand how it can happen, though. You want to still hang around with these people.
It's like what happened last year at the Christmas market stream. Yeah, that was bad planning as well.
When people wanted to, but the thing is, we'd stream and it was almost like watching a live YouTube video or a Twitch video. People are automatically almost conditioned, I feel, sometimes that it's almost in your head, it's very easy to think, oh, well, I'm just watching the video here, right? And everyone else is. So why can I not stick around as well? And so it kind of is this innocent thing, right? That actually when you step back and you're like, oh, what am I doing? I probably shouldn't be doing this. Like it's weird, but I don't feel like the people are to blame. I don't feel like they're deliberately creepy. I think the way it's been created is kind of creepy.
It's exactly what Sips was saying, is that if you watch something all the time, someone every day, just like Sips said, people feel like they have a connection.
Yeah.
You're familiar to them, but it's almost like it's like watching a TV show and people going up and thinking you're like the character on the TV show.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's exactly like that. But obviously not for the same scale of audience or anything like that. But it's the same feeling of familiarity that
I think some of it is obviously the very people who are just deluded. But I think 99% of it is just shy people, awkward people, and people who haven't even really even like figured out. Like they'll make a comment and then they'll realize, oh shit, actually that does sound creepy. Now I've looked at it, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will say to you, you know, if you ever call them on it, like a lot of the nasty comments that I've got, you know, throughout, and every time I've actually ever spoken to someone and said, dude, that wasn't a very nice thing to say, they were like, oh, I didn't mean it like that, and you were like, oh right, oh okay, because we're using, you know, words here to describe
the sort of like the again though, like the standards and like my sort of how I would react to things, like, okay, for example, I know plenty of women who have gotten really, really awful messages from guys who are like, oh, I'm going to fucking put my cock in your throat and all this like really gross shit, right? Like this happens again daily.
Oh, yeah.
I've been doing this for 10 years and I have not once received a message from a female saying like, I'm going to suffocate you in my tits or, I'm going to fucking squirt all over your face or anything. Like I've never, and I'm pretty sure I can safely say that most people have never received that from a female.
I wonder if
the
super hot dude streamers get
any of that.
I wonder if they do.
I'd be surprised if they did, because I just feel
some of them are almost like boy band.
Again, it's
members.
Just such a male thing to do, right? Like
to be sexually aggressive, like
to
that.
Be
yeah.
really overly sexually inappropriate.
I don't
and
know.
Aggressive,
I know yeah. that a lot of like if you've ever been to a Twitch event like we have, you definitely don't see as many women there as you do men, but. When it comes to, I remember my sister was into a boy band back in the day. This is in the 90s. She went to see them and she was on the front page of the Bournemouth Echo. And all these teenage girls were like, had these animal expressions, like, ah, they're all reaching to try to get
them. Oh, yeah. I think that's a little bit different. Like, you see the ones
if
that.
If you get them in a group, Sips, that's all I'm saying.
No, like, I think if you're sort of like at an event and if you're like a boy band streamer, like, you know, like that type, you know, so like young, attractive, whatever. And there's like a bunch of screaming girls around you. Maybe they would get like a bit grabby or something. You know what I mean? Like,
I think they would. Yeah,
but
that's got to be terrifying.
But I don't think that they would spend time in their spare time writing really lewd emails and like
I think they would
tweets to people.
I think they would.
I feel
I really
like they
do.
Wouldn't. But maybe that's just me being like not understanding or something. I just feel
well,
like
any women listening to this,
I would
let us
not
know.
Be surprised by a man doing that because I've seen examples of men doing this
no, you're right.
so many times.
There's a lot of women hating men out there, you know, and there's not so many. You know, men hating
really?
Women as much.
I think women just
well,
women kind
much,
of really
right.
hate
man
men
hate, yeah.
by default. But they, I feel like, yeah.
But well, but not on Twitch for sure.
I don't
it
know.
Feel
it's,
like
it's weird.
Well, maybe there is some. I don't know.
I don't think I've ever had a woman
more...
come in my chat and be horrible.
No,
I don't think so.
Not that I've noticed anyway. Like, but
I mean, unless that was a woman that said, "Hey, Piran, you bald cunt." I mean, out of character, I'd say. But
you wouldn't know. Maybe I think the other thing is like that person who came in the chat and said you look nice today. If that was a, you wouldn't know. If like female streamers might, I think female streamers think that a lot of their audience and I hope that their audience is female, but know that a lot of their audience is
again
male.
Weird standards.
And so it's like the default comment. Like I see a Reddit post. The default thing in my mind is it's read in a male voice.
Right,
I just
right,
don't
right,
know.
Yeah.
I just and it's almost like sometimes even until the end of the story, I'm like, Why is a man talking about his pregnancy?
Yeah. weird standards, and I don't know if this says more about me than the situation or whatever, but like I feel like if a woman or like a woman came into my chat and called me a bald cunt, I would be more forgiving of that than a guy doing
yeah,
it to me.
I think
me.
I might be, yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know why, but I just feel like, oh, okay, sure. But like if it's a guy, I'm like, oh, fuck you. the fuck are you, bitch? Like, you know,
exactly.
Like, it's just such a weird...
I also see comments like that as a precursor that this person is not going to then say something cool and funny.
Oh, I guess, yeah.
This that's is their position from the outset.
Yeah.
I'd say most evenings we get someone in the chat who's wandered in off the street and is very
quickly
identified.
It's not exactly the pinnacle of wit, is it?
No, but it's also, I feel like the viewers are like ants, you know what I mean? And they smell the pheromones of a stranger ant who is an aggressive and unwanted intruder very quickly. And I don't look at chat very often, but people always notice that I do tend to look at chat somehow when there's been a negative comment.
Yeah.
I spot it straight away. And
it's like a magnet.
Yeah, literally.
It is.
But I often take them out of context. So someone will have said something in response to something else, like, God, you're such an idiot. And I'll be like, fuck you, I'm not an idiot. They're like, no, scroll up, period, scroll up. I was like, oh, he's responding to someone else. That's why I'm so glad Twitch put in the reply feature.
Yeah.
So I can look and say who it's replied to. I was like, oh, okay.
I think I'm guilty of doing similar as well, but not so much. I always tend to read like the dumbest comments for some reason.
Yeah.
I'll glance over and I'll just read what I see, but it's never anything useful. You know, it's somebody trolling or it's somebody like if I've asked for like information on something, I'll read the dumbest reply, like somehow.
A lot of the time, yeah, I will have said something like, you fucking asshole. And then someone will post, you fucking asshole in chat. And I'll be like, well, you called me an asshole. And they'll be like, no, you just said it. And I was like, oh
yeah.
Yeah, it's tricky.
Stuff like that. Like,
I don't know how those people do it where they read chat while they're playing.
Are you saying that someone's first comment in chat is like their audition for whether
they're going to be a good member of the community or not?
Yeah. If there was a conversation going on, which essentially Twitch chat is like, they're all chatting away while I'm playing, and occasionally I'll come in and say something or respond to it. But, I mean, I can't play Dota and read chat. I do see some people doing it. They're streaming, and whilst they're, like, fucking in the middle of a team fight or de-warding, they're, like, looking at chat. I'm like, how the fuck can you do that? But for me, if you arrive in a conversation or a group of people and that's your opening gambit, that's a pretty shitty gambit. Like, I really don't appreciate it. And I don't think it's clever. I don't think it's me misreading it. That's just very, very poor social skills, I think. And I see that kind of thing all the time. The first time I've noticed someone's name and them say something, it's something like that. And you think, is that really the best you can do? Like, at least bed yourself in before you start insulting me. You can't just turn up and that's the first thing you say. Because I've got no context.
How do you feel about, like, seeing people's post history and stuff? Because that's obviously a thing you can do on Reddit. You can look up guys to see whether they are just creepers or whatever.
Yeah.
And their only comments
are
sleazy
ones.
I do it every time.
If I see a comment
from Twitch, like, yeah, on Twitch, like, if you could see all the channels they've posted in and all their chat logs. Like, I mean, I'm not saying that this is the world of... on Discord, it's similar though, right? Because Discord, you can... I've joined like 150 servers on Discord. And so I could look up someone in that Discord and see if they've made a comment in there or something and see their posts. But it's definitely something like that keeps all of your history. And same with Twitch, like the chat, every thing you've chatted in Twitch, you can see often.
You know,
I think we were looking through some post history the other day. For some reason, Barry was messing around with it because he has all these weird, crazy tools that he can look up. And it's quite terrifying when you realize that everything you post ever, they do this in certain games as well. Like, you don't think that in a fucking Dota game or in an Overwatch game, your chat is all saved.
Well, that was a big thing for the players a couple of years ago. Somebody did a dump of all the shit that players had said. Because if you look at the public match thing, it saves the chat, like you said. And so somebody went and did like a word cloud for all the top pros of the number one word that they say, and like some of them were like super wholesome, like GH, who's a really wholesome guy. His chat was like, the worst thing he said was, sorry, I'm drunk. Like, that was it. But some people were like, you know, dropping all kinds of unbelievable swears and cusses.
I know.
And just being incredibly toxic. And like you said, I don't think that they ever thought that this was going to come out. But I mean, there are screenshots of old chats that people have posted. But this was from the raw data. Like, this is not something that you could doctor or fake. This is from the raw files, the raw replays. So it's just provable right there. Yes, you said that. And it's interesting because we people love privacy on the internet, right? That's a big thing. They don't want to be traceable. They don't want anything to be saved. And you've got to think, well, if you're in a public place, which a Twitch chat essentially is a public place, and you're saying stuff and you think I should be able to say whatever I like, and there should be no record of it and no comeuppance for that, then really what you're advocating is for your own private space where you can say whatever you like. But the moment you're around other people, the stuff you say has to have consequences. Otherwise, what's the fucking point?
It's like selective memory, though. It's like I can act like a cunt whenever I want, and I'm relying on all these places and people to keep it quiet so that I can cultivate this new image for myself. Right. It's like,
I mean, internet trolling is fucking a big problem.
If you're a toxic asshole, like, and people find out about it and then get some sort of measure of what you're really like, well, that's your fault. You shouldn't have been like that in the first place.
Don't be a cunt. Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? Like, it's
like, I think the Reddit post thing you were saying,
it's your
is exactly
fault that
right.
We found out that you're actually a cunt.
right. It's not our fault.
It's
your fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we've all said things online that we thought were private, you know, like I think sometimes, you know, I don't know, you know, I'm sure back in the day I said some racy stuff in World of Warcraft and guild chat or whatever, to the point where we were kind of, even then we were joking about reporting. So a few people did get banned from guild chat reports, do you remember? And like that was a thing that we used to do before we gave a shit, you know, when we were being edgy and that kind of stuff. We thought, you know, just stupid, really.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't look back on it with a sense of pride. I think I was an idiot and I deserved to get called out.
So everyone's done stuff that they were stupid about, and it's okay. And I don't live my life afeared of one day that being posted. You know, I regret it, you know, but I don't, like... But I've changed. I think we have, like... That's the other thing that's interesting. I think nowadays... Like the first time we'd ever did the Jingle Jam, right, was very much something where we thought it would be fun and funny to kind of troll Oxfam, almost, if you like, by buying all of their goats, right? It's still a funny idea that we would send goats to Simon. I think that's still a fun idea, right? That Simon wants goats for Christmas, you know. And I still like the idea that one day we get Simon a goat and it just turns up at his house, you know, and starts eating the grass. Do you know what I mean? I like the idea of that still. And so that was something which we felt like was in tune with who we are back then, which was kind of slightly reckless, but in a good way, right? Slightly edgy, but in a good way. Like Mr. Beast does nowadays, where he's very much kind of willing to sort of do stuff that isn't necessarily kosher. Like, I don't know, drive through a McDonald's drive through 1,000 times or whatever the kind of things he's done. I feel like they're kind of slightly trolls, right? But also fun and good and make a good video. And so in a sense, like, that was the first thing we did. And then the bees thing. And what actually happened was we actually went to Oxfam. They actually invited us to their distribution center after we'd raised a couple of hundred grand for, you know, goats and bees and stuff. And they were like, look, it's all very funny, but we really don't need you to spend any more money on goats. Every penny that we've had to spend on goats, and there are a lot of more important things that we could be spending charity money on. And so I was like, oh, crikey. All right. So we kind of had to grow up pretty fast in a sense. And that's why we ended up sort of changing the way the bundle was done and stuff in those first years, you know, because it was, and I think we did grow up and change and like, and become more responsible. And it was something which we grew out of being kind of that edgy, I guess. But I hope that we didn't lose our sense of humor in a sense. Like, I feel like it became more, I guess, like, this is the thing that games have as well, right? Or communities or other things. They feel like it's not theirs anymore. Like, you know, I think we Notch lost ownership of Minecraft. We've sort of lost ownership of the Yorkshire, in a sense. Like, it's kind of become something which our audience are invested in and care about. And like a lot of controversy this week around Blizzard and how they've put out this sort of a battle pass for Hearthstone. And a lot of people are complaining about Blizzard because it feels like the classic World of Warcraft triple payment model is, you know, you buy the game, you subscribe to the game, and it's got microtransactions in it. Plus, right. Hearthstone is traditionally been a game that you have to spend, you know, if you want to buy all the cards for the new Hearthstone expansion, that's either 200 quid probably.
Jesus.
Or like 6 months of doing daily quests. Yeah. And the daily quests shouldn't be called daily quests. They should be called daily chores. Anyone or chores. Like, no one should use the word daily. That is awful. Yeah. Like, as a psychology thing. Like, it's not a positive thing to, like... And World of Warcraft is full of these things to keep people subscribed in their triple payment package. No, well, I checked it out because the new expansion comes out in a week's time. And so by the time this podcast is out, I'll probably be tweeting about the new expansion because I always check them out because it's such a big part of my history. It's very nostalgic. Yeah. I've got a lot of hours invested.
I'm trying to grow as an individual, so I am boycotting it this time around.
Well, this is it. Maybe that's it, Sits. Maybe you should do. But I feel like certainly...
I just know what it's going
to
be, though.
...enamored themselves to their community with their... greedy sort of practices, and they have almost left their community in the dust and not really respected the community that have helped them get to this point. And I, what I'm saying is that I feel like Blizzard should maybe grow up as well and stop, you know, being so exploitative and so cruel.
No, they won't. But every studio goes this way after a certain amount of money is made. And
it's weird, isn't it? The more money they make, the more they determine to make money.
Yeah.
Like, that becomes the central focus for them all.
Yeah,
and
nobody wants to go backwards. But that's at their cost, though.
I think that's at their detriment. They damage themselves by being so money hungry. You know what I mean? If they were generous, they wouldn't have this problem, I think. You know, I don't think. I know there's this sunk costs idea that sometimes that people actually even the fallacy that, you know, if you spent money on something and you can't get it back, you can't change. It's the thing that keeps people hooked into League of Legends or Dota as well. It's like people don't switch between the two games because they feel like they've invested a lot of money into that library.
Dota's free.
Right? And they don't want to get started again.
Dota's free.
It's not. It's the most expensive free game I ever played. I spent $2,000 or $3,000 on Dota.
You don't have to. You don't have to. You have to spend money on League.
Do you see what I mean? That as soon as you spend money in one of these games, you're hooked in, right? Because it's like you can't. You're like, well, I can't. I'm not going to start paying for a brand new one.
I don't know. I definitely put quite a bit of money into Hearthstone, buying packs and shit.
You do. You have to.
I haven't played it in years.
The psychology is you play your first couple of matches against paid actors basically who just are terrible and you win and you feel like, holy crap, maybe I'm actually kind of good at this game. I made this deck on a shoestring and now my plan is to, wow, I'm just going to take over the world with my smarts, my brilliance. I'm going to beat everybody with this budget deck. And then they put you against the guy who spent like $300 on packs. And then immediately you change your mind, right? You're like, oh fuck, I can't compete. What if everybody's like this guy? They've all spent $300. Guess I'm gonna have to spend $300 and be just as good as this guy. And then
on those websites. I can't remember what one of them is called. The one that gives loads of decks for Hearthstone. I'm sure there's a bunch of them.
Yeah, there's HS Replay, which I used to use.
And I was like, I'm looking for a deck that doesn't require me to burn a bunch of cards and buy a load of shit. And it was like, oh, this is a great deck. This got me to so and so rank. And I think it's a bit like a top footballer recommending a pair of football boots in that you get those boots and you think, now I'm going to score free kicks like Lionel Messi, but you don't.
No.
Because you still suck.
Yeah.
And
because
really,
Lionel Messi has played so much football and is so good at it that he could wear like clown shoes and still outplay the shit out of you.
Yeah. Exactly. So I think a lot of the time those decks lull you into thinking it's just, oh, it's just mathematics. But a lot of the time, these guys are like disgustingly good.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of good stuff in these games. Like there's a lot of fun stuff in Hearthstone and the tavern brawls and like mucking around and playing the game. I got a lot of joy out of it. And the same thing in WoW. Like a lot of the story stuff's good and a lot of the stuff's good. But as soon as it starts being like, oh, I have to log in order to get this thing, or I have to turn up at this time to grind my head against this. Like, I don't know. Like you have to know when to stop.
Right. With all Blizzard games, though.
I didn't know that back in the day when I was young. I really didn't know when to stop. I didn't have anything else in my life. I was very depressed. I was investing money in World of Warcraft and I felt like it was an escape, but also it was an addiction.
Right.
That's how I feel about I almost every Blizzard.
Is that why
game?
You loaded it back up again the other day?
I hope that I have a different outlook on things now, right. And I've got a different perspective.
What has brought you back to it though, out of interest? Like what?
Well, I wanted to play through the latest storyline, which I've done now. And I feel like as soon as it started giving me daily chores, I was like, I'm
yeah,
done.
Yeah. So see, I feel like
I don't want a game doing that. I fucking hate that.
I feel like every
I refuse
Blizzard
to do
game
a daily
like
quest
for me.
That's my rule. I refuse to do a daily
but
quest.
But this like Sip said, this is every Blizzard game.
Yeah.
Because the whole point is that they obviously think, how can we keep people playing the game and spending making money on it. We'll just give them tasks that they have to come back and do every day. Because I'm sure if you have an in-game store, the number one hurdle to people spending money is not the game, but making them come to the page. Like, people will buy... If my homepage was Amazon, I'm sure I'd buy a bunch more shit on Amazon.
Well...
Because you'd go on the page and you'd think, oh... That's there and it's cheaper than it was yesterday. I actually would kind of like one of those. And I'm sure that these games design around, we just need to get people onto the main screen, into the game.
Yeah.
Then they'll spend money. Like, that's the biggest hurdle. Getting them on the phone, if you like.
If I look back on all the Blizzard games that I've played, including World of Warcraft to an extent, I don't look back and think I had fun playing those games, because actually I don't think
really?
I don't think I did. World of Warcraft, I had fun playing the game, but it wasn't the game itself, it was the community within the game, right? Because
that's what it was,
because the game allowed for a big community of people all
I actually did enjoy
doing stuff together or whatever, and I enjoyed that about World of Warcraft. Overwatch,
there were some good things,
and
and I've enjoyed playing the last.
I don't look
I've
back on those as fun experiences. I look back on both of those games as feeling compelled to be competitive in them, just to climb a ladder or get some points or something like that. I never had the, like, maybe I'm just like doing it wrong or whatever.
You're
but
right. It's this odd compulsion.
Yeah, you feel compelled to be very hyper competitive in those games where. You know, they are fun enough games where it would just be fun to dick around in them and stuff, but I never felt like it was ever worth dicking around in them.
Honestly, like, everyone feels as well when they play it. Like, everyone I speak to with Overwatch, you know, you ask them like the question, like, do you ever think you could have, like, you know, gone pro, or do you ever think you could have entered a tournament, you know? And they were like, yeah, well, if I'd played a bit more, I was pretty good. You know, people say that to me, you know, and I'm like... no, you couldn't have. That's not it. That's not how it works. You know, you can't. I think that, but that's what they make you think, right? That's how they. There's all the gold and platinum and double platinum and masters and grandmasters and master to grandmaster and titanium and diamond two. You know, they've got this odd structure that tricks you.
You know what it's like? It's like the classes of boarding on a plane. We now invite our ultra diamond, titanium, platinum passengers to board. It's like that. So do you feel like you're better than everybody else because you get to go on third?
No, but it almost works in the same way as well, because it's like with a lot of those airline things, the longer you've been part of that club, the more solidified you are in it, right? Like, it auto-renews. It does. And most competitive games are the same. If you've been masters in a game before... you could have even like the unluckiest streak and you'll still wind up back in Masters because somehow, like, the algorithm just favors you for your past sort of playtime achievements.
So here's an interesting thing. Yeah, like, Ben plays this card game called Horus Heresy, which is basically Hearthstone but Warhammer, and it's terrible. But he played it on the bus for like 6 months into the office and back, right?
Is it a mobile game, is it?
Yeah, it's a mobile game. But he has, obviously, he was really good at it, right? Because he was the only fucking person who played it when it came out. And now he's ranked like 10th globally in it. And so he can't stop playing it. It's the only game he plays. And it's because he feels like he's at that pro level, right? And that's alluring. And I think it's a little bit of that that people try and tap into with these competitive games like Overwatch and Hearthstone. You know, if you feel like you're reaching legend or you're getting to a high thing, you think, damn, I'm good at this game. I'm going to keep playing it because, you know, I could get even better.
I could become maybe even the best in the universe at this game if I just put more time.
But also
time.
It just feels... You don't have to be the best. You just have to be like among the best.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be. You have to feel like you're competitive. I don't know. It's a trick, and there's all these tricks. You have to try and see them for what they are, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it doesn't mean anything. Well, maybe it does to you, and maybe that's enough. And if you feel good about it, go for it. Like, do your own thing. Just be aware of yourselves. Look after yourselves, everyone. I love you. Or I care about you.
He's ending the podcast.
He's ending it.
I'm ending the podcast.
He's had enough.
I've said my piece. I've said everything I wanted to say.
Yeah.
And I'm happy. Thank you for joining me, Sips Pflex. It's good to chat.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for having us on your podcast.
Yeah, we really enjoy.
Next podcast that comes out, Jingle Jam, will be in full swing.
Will it?
Yeah, it will.
We're having a CSGO tournament. I can't wait. That's going to be exciting.
That'll be really interesting.
That's going to be terrible and wonderful at the same time. I was actually dreaming about it last night. I can't wait.
Scrub CSGO. It's going to be great. All right. Thanks, everybody. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.